You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans? And welcome to this live edition, somewhat live, of the Bison Report Radio podcast here on the Bison Report Podcast Network. I'm your host, the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, and joining me for the very first time in the Bison Report studios in Horace, North Dakota, Mr. Nate Zastrow. Nate, how happy are you to be here?
It's good to be back in Fargo. I forgot how this cold kind of stings you with the wind.
It's a windy day, something I
haven't had in a while, but it's good to be back in Fargo. Good to see the campus and all the new facilities, and obviously a lot's changed since I've been here, and it's good to see them continuing to ramp up and make things nice for their student athletes.
Yeah, they didn't even have the football facility up the last time you were here, so that's a big change.
No, it looks amazing. I used to walk through that little lot there to get to the BSA, and now there's a huge football facility and track facility there. So, yeah, everything looks really nice and the stuff that they've upgraded. So,
nothing $50 million can't fix. All righty. The Bison Report Radio podcast brought to you today by the good people at Fargo Basketball Academy. Let's hit the news. We are coming off a sweep. We being North Dakota State got swept in South Dakota. Really a disappointing performance. I think most of all at USD. I think they got whistle effed a little bit in Frost, to be honest with you. But played poorly at USD. I think anytime you have a plan, you know, where your starting point guard is going to play 31, 32, 33 minutes, and that just goes away, and your backup point guard is in a walking boot, that's not ideal.
Yeah, and I don't think their energy was that great that night, shooting 39% from the floor, and USD kind of played like a desperate team. They had just lost by 50 to Oral Roberts.
Yes, they had. Yeah.
Earlier that week, they were on, I think, their fourth game in about 8 days or fifth game in 8 days or something like that, and they came out with some energy like a desperate team, and it's kind of stinks that they put all their effort in that Thursday game, because they went and dropped one at home to UND that Saturday. You would have wished they would have played better. That was the road game that we talked about in the preview of the two games that we wanted them to get, and it made for a bigger game and more tense game Saturday, and unfortunately they played well enough to win that game, and kind of at the end of the game we're never going to blame officials, that's an excuse, but they didn't make plays at the end of the game, and South Dakota State did.
It felt, and I'd have to look at it, but it felt like NDSU didn't get a stop for the last 4 minutes. It was either an offensive rebound by William Kyle or a foul or a bucket, but more like an offensive rebound or a foul.
Yeah, and Zeke Mayo obviously got it going most of that game, and I talked about it during when it was happening. He finally kind of was starting to get gassed. He played 40 minutes. He finally missed a couple shots, and I know William Kyle had a couple on his shots, and I know we had a missed box out on a free throw where William Kyle got an offensive rebound in games like that, and it's why NDSU won in Fargo. They kept some balls alive and got some big offensive rebounds to make the other team defend another 20 seconds, and that kills you, and then you end up falling Zeke Mayo, who's a 91% free throw shooter late in the game, and then that's ultimately what was the difference.
It was. NDSU hires University of North Dakota running back coach Steve Crutchley. a longtime Valley assistant, somebody who's been around the league, understands this region, understands recruiting this region, I believe played ball at University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. Steve Crutchley to take over for Noah Pauley as North Dakota State's wide receivers coach. And NDSU football gets three into the combine. Hunter Lipke, Cody Malk, and Noah Gindorf. And again, we just want to remind folks that Hunter is not going to work out. He's there to probably, I would guess, measure if he can lift his arm all the way above his head for reach or wingspan, things of that nature. Might be as little as height, weight, and team interviews, which, you know, that's they think pretty highly of you to invite you to the combine if they know you can't work out. So that's a good thing for Hunter, for sure. Folks, if you are looking for potentially a change in your insurance company, well, get a look at multiple companies by working with Tundra Insurance in Horace, North Dakota. Give former NDSU football player Quinn Allo a call at 701-969-1661 or drop him a line at quinn@tundrainsurance.com and see what he can do for you. He'll check with up to 20 different carriers to find the exact right level of coverage for you and find the best premium possible. Save that money to bring home to your family. Put some food on the table for your kids. Again, 701-969-1661 or at tundrainsurance.com. All right, Omaha in town. The Omaha-Denver travel partner situation. NDSU had a lot of success here with what they were able to do against these two teams in their places. But for me, tonight is about the homecoming of Kyan Brown. Miss KB, obviously his energy, difficult to replace. I think Spencer Wilker is doing a fantastic job as an assistant coach, but KB had a personality that was, still does, but had a personality around the North Dakota State basketball program that was difficult to for anyone to replace. And he is a special dude, and I'm very excited to see him tonight. And hoping that hoping to get this thing going a little bit more in Omaha for our guy Kyan.
Yeah, and Kyan's been around the league obviously for years with when he was with Sutton with Oral Roberts for years, and then obviously came up here to coach with Dave. And you know, everyone's got their own personal situations that's best for them and their family. And Kyan thought that this was the best situation. Dave looks like he's going to be here for the foreseeable future as of now, and Kyan's probably to the point in his career where he's looking for a head coaching job, and I think it's pretty well known that Crutchfield's trying to
move.
When
win, recruit, win it out, when win
recruit,
and get out.
When you recruit guys like Trey Young, and you're trying to get in there and get it going and move on, and I think that's a good situation for Kyan. With him being at Oral Roberts, he recruited that Omaha, Kansas City area pretty big, so that I think that's kind of his area for recruiting, and I think that's the opportunity that he's seeing in his near future.
8.5-point favorites tonight. It's a relatively big number. The Bison, I would say, considered heavy favorites. I tell you what, though, Nate, they need to win both of these games. You know, not they're right now where their overall record is, and even where the conference record is. They're not in a position where they can start looking ahead, but they have to get to 8-6. Right now, they're half game out of having to play into the Summit League tournament, which is to play in, to have the ability to play the number two or the one seed on Sunday and potentially have a very short stay in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, and I mean, it's still a logjam in there. South Dakota State's kind of separated themselves a little bit. Western's somewhat separated a little bit less, but has a game up on St. Thomas in that from that 3-4 spot. It can change literally in two games on the weekend with whoever they're playing in. With us looking ahead at NDSU's schedule the next week, playing at Kansas City and Oral Roberts, that's not going to be any picnic. If you go even split.
Split would be big.
If you split this here this weekend, you're 7-7, you're looking at potentially 7-9, and then you're probably looking at that playing game unless you really get it rolling. Or if you split next week, that would obviously help. But let's get these two home wins. It's two teams. You beat by double digits on the road. You're pretty much dominated. You can't go into the game thinking that you beat them by double digits. You need to come in with the same game plan, same attitude that you did on the road, get the home crowd behind you, and get two wins.
I think you're looking at a second team, in my opinion, a second team All-Summit League guy in Frankie Fiddler. somebody that was pretty easily identifiable during the second half of league play last year as a stud. I'm sure, you know, a very important piece for Chris Crutchfield when he took this job to retain Frankie Fiddler, because you would certainly not have, you know, spoken poorly of Frankie, or everybody would have understood if he hit the portal. I mean, guys hit the portal for no reason, much less the head coach that recruited me is gone. So that was a big deal, and Frankie is playing well here as a sophomore for sure.
Yeah, he had some really big games late last year. I know the South Dakota State tournament game rings a bell for pretty much everyone. And for him to keep him around, I know him being kind of an Omaha kid was a big deal for him. And he's got the skill level to be a high major portal type guy. And I think he's one of those guys that hopefully is like a Grant Nelson, where he's going to show his skill set and where he's at, and loves where he's at in the state of Nebraska. And he's got a good skill set. I mean, he played 39 minutes the first game, didn't shoot it great. I think Jakari and Bowden kind of gave him some problems, and he struggled to get it going. And but he's definitely a guy that is going to be the key for NDSU. He's kind of the straw that stirs their drink. But if he can get going, look for this game to be a lot closer than NDSU wants it tonight.
Yeah, and they don't have a ton of size at Omaha, and that's why, you know, you can throw a Bowden at him, or even sometimes you could throw a Grant Nelson at Frankie. They do have the length to really bug him, and I think that's kind of what they were able to do in that win over Omaha. He, I think, got his, but I think it was on a lot of volume. I think.
Yeah, 5 for 13, 13 points for Fiddler.
So I wouldn't even say he got his. I mean, that's a pretty darn good job. Anytime you're making the best player on the opposing team go 5 for 13, they do that to Zeke Mayo in Brookings. They win that game by about 15. Yeah. Okay, 3-10 in league play. They have lost 7 in a row. I don't know that if you lose 7 league games in a row, I don't know if you're desperate anymore. I mean, I don't think they're mailing in the season, but I think it's more of a just, okay, we're building this thing, maybe looking forward. This might not be our year.
You know, and you look at the standings. I mean, they're a half game up on UND. I don't think that Crutchfield wants to go into his first year, or that team, not making the conference tournament.
Yeah.
So they're gonna play with a little bit of a chip on the shoulder. And you know what? When you lose 7 in a row and you're a big underdog on the road, you're playing with nothing to lose. And if they're really bought into what he's trying to do, I expect them to come out and play hard and give NDSU their best shot. Obviously, I think NDSU is far more talented than them, but we've seen NDSU have their lulls and lack of energy at times, so hopefully they're ready to go tonight.
It could be a thinner NDSU rotation tonight. Don't believe, this might be spraining some news, but I don't believe that they'll have Lance Waddles. They definitely aren't going to have Luke Yoder. Luke Yoder looks like a stress fracture for him. He was scooting around at shoot around today in a boot and crutches for both the South Dakota games on that road trip. Luke is not available. Don't know that Waddles will be available. And that makes you a little bit thin, especially at the guard wing position. You know, whoever you bring, whether you bring Jakari off the bench, you bring Bowden off the bench, whatever you're doing there. But that puts Javis in kind of a 34, 35 minute position.
Yeah. And I think Dave kind of likes to go 8 deep, and obviously yeah. You still want 9, 10 available, but I think it's arguably their best 8 that they have available tonight.
Yeah.
Lance is probably that 8.5, 9 or Strite, but Strite's been playing like a 6th or 7th man for a lot of this year. I think they have their best 8, and I think they're going to roll with it. Now, hopefully there's no foul trouble or any type of injury in game.
Sletton's ass out there.
That's kind of why you want that 9, 10 available. Yeah. So, NDSU's a little thin, it looks like, and I think it's going to be a good opportunity for their best 8 to kind of get a little bit of a rotation going, and I'm looking forward to seeing guys like Tejavis and Grant Bowden and Jakari. I mean, I thought they all played good offensively in that South Dakota State game, and hopefully they can get it back rolling tonight at home.
And I tell you what, you know, I made mention I didn't know how serious Damari Wheeler-Thomas's situation was during that game in Vermillion, but there's no forward motion on the McKinney redshirt situation. I had kicked that around. They got really thin at point guard. He has obviously played plenty of point guard. But I think they're going to probably leave the option open to him to either play out, you know, because he'll have a COVID year, he'll have a redshirt year, and either to play that here at NDSU as depth at point guard, because I don't really foresee Dez taking over for DWT at any point, or marketing himself to another, you know, mid-major school, or maybe taking the Cam Hunter Jordan Horn route and playing some high-level D2 ball. I don't know what the future holds for Dez McKinney, but I do feel like they're not going to burn a part of that future based on this redshirt situation.
No, and he tear up his knee late last year? So, I mean,
January.
He's probably not full recovery. I'm sure guys can come back, but you're not going to rush him back. And I think the play of Damari Wheeler-Thomas this year has kind of just helped things along to where he's going to provide what Dez was providing, plus a little bit more offense. And Dez was a great player, great defender, brought great energy. Just his offense kind of lacked what Damari Wheeler-Thomas has given NDSU. So.
Sure, and he's cleared. I mean, I know that he's cleared. He's passed his 12-month. I think I've seen him maybe potentially even practice without a brace. I'm not going to go that far, but, I mean, he's cleared. Like I said, I don't anticipate seeing any of Dez McKinney this season, regardless of Yoder's foot, regardless of, you know, I mean, maybe if something catastrophic happened to DWT, but other than that, I think they're going to try and keep Dez's options open for him. As we mentioned, during basketball season, Bison Report Radio is brought to you by the Fargo Basketball Academy and Shoot 360. FBA has classes, private lessons, small group lessons, and team trainings for all skill levels and age groups in both basketball and volleyball. And Shoot 360, folks, it is the world's most advanced and cutting-edge technology training in the world. I've been over there. It is really, really cool. It is really, really cool. And it's something that a young athlete, especially as much as I do, you know, appreciate what they're able to do for volleyball players, if you've got a young hooper, it is a special deal what they've got going on there with Shoot 360, basically a membership situation where your kid can go in and have an amazing, like, robot basically rebound for them and keep track of their shooting percentages. It is unreal. Want to congratulate our friends at Shoot 360 as they were a franchise award winner. Congrats to our friends Josh and Katie Johnson. Find them at fargobasketball.com, or just go stop by their beautiful facility on 52nd Avenue South in Fargo. I got news for you, Nate. They're playing Denver. Denver's not any good either.
Yeah, I think Denver, when they hit that road trip, we were hoping they got a road sweep. We knew NDSU had some struggles on the road, and I think Denver was their best performance of the year, arguably, from top to bottom. They dominated that game from start to finish. No one played over 30 minutes. They had four players in double figures. Everyone hit the box score except Waddles, who played only 7 minutes in that game. Just an all-around effort. And I think, if I remember right, Jakari was dogging Bruner up and down the court. Their leading scorer, and made things tough for him, made him frustrated. And Jakari not only did that, he was also 5-for-9 from the floor, 3-for-9 from the 3-for-5 from the 3-for-15. Denver's not going to shoot a lot of threes, so it's a matchup that NDSU needs to just defend, and I think they're better. Like, they're more talented. They just need to not play tense and just play their game, and I think eventually the game's going to play into itself, and NDSU's going to prevail just based off their talent.
Yeah, eighth in the league right now, 1-6 in conference road games, not a team that travels particularly well. And their guy, Tommy Bruner, obviously, you know, folks, just Google Coben Porter, who would have been their number one player this year, and see the issues that he's been having for about the last 12 months. I wouldn't expect, honestly, to probably see Coben Porter in a Denver uniform again. But Tommy Bruner, is he a transfer kid?
Yes. I was just looking up Jacksonville. So he was at USC Upstate for his first 2 years. And then he actually started 32 games as a freshman, and then that kind of dwindled down, and then he barely played at Jacksonville in last year, who was in the A-Sun final.
Yep.
And now he's at Denver. He started every game.
Yeah. A thrice transfer.
Yeah.
Okay.
But a lot of those these days.
Yeah, Jakari drove him absolutely nuts in Denver. I mean, physically, like, you could tell. I mean, visibly frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, and Bruner, he was dogging him full court, and once he got into the half court, it's like Bruner was so ticked off, he couldn't get by him, and then at some points, you could see Bruner just barreling into the lane, trying to, like, draw a foul, or just because he was so tired, he was just trying to get a shot up because he hadn't gotten one up in a few minutes, so expect Tommy to be a little more prepared for that type of treatment this game, and hopefully he... I mean, not hopefully he adjusts to it, but hopefully he plays the same way for NDSU's sake. But he's a good player. He's been good in the league. He's averaging 16.8 for Denver, their leading scorer by a lot. And Denver's not going to score a lot of points, and they don't defend very well. So they're going to need a guy like Bruner to have a big game if they want a chance, and it's going to be important for NDSU to have the same effort on him that they did in Denver.
Yeah, and you know, they don't shoot a ton of threes. That's been a bugaboo for NDSU this year. They have, I don't know if lost games because of the three is necessarily accurate, but they have struggled sometimes at times to defend the three. They have certainly been shot out of some games from downtown by their opponent, and that's just not Denver's game plan. That's just not what they do.
No, and Denver shot 343 threes in 26 games. I mean, they're shooting just over 10 threes a game. I mean, they're not going to shoot a bunch. They were 5 for 10 the first game, and they probably shot a higher percentage than they're going to shoot. And they were down a bunch in that first game, and usually when teams get down like that, they usually think that they need to come back from the three, and they still didn't shoot from the three. So they're going to be trying to get to the basket. It's going to be important for NDSU to keep them out of the lane. I think I remember last time they shoot a bunch of free throws. 609 free throws in
They shoot
26
a ton of
games, so over 20 a game.
They shoot a ton of free throws, and I think it very much frustrated them that they did not get to the free throw line against NDSU.
And their coach either got teed up or he was getting after the officials at least for the whole first half. And I think we talked about it. They had like 4 free throw attempts with like 3 minutes left in the first half. I think they still got to the near the 20 range, but that was when the game was out of hand. It didn't matter. But when it mattered in that first half, the big reason NDSU was able to pull away is Denver couldn't get to the free throw line. They don't shoot it from three. NDSU was hot from the three, and that's
right. That's just the way Dave plays. Is he walls up? You know, they've got that. If you've ever seen in practice that tape line, I mean, they wall up. They've got Grant. They've got Morgs. They've got length. You know, they're not, and generally do a decent job of staying out of foul trouble.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the stats now. 11 for 19 Denver was. So they didn't shoot a good percentage, and they only shot 19. NDSU 22 for 28. So that's probably the difference in the game right there. And, yeah, I mean, it's the big thing that we were taught even when I played is you don't need to be a shot blocker in the lane. If you're secondary defender or the primary defender, you need to wall up and stay in the play and make them score through you, make them score over you. You got guys like Morgan at 6'9 and Grant at 6'11. There's no reason unless Grant's – not the wall-up guy and coming from the backside, just make them score through you. And if they finish it, well, good finish and make them do
good,
it.
Yeah,
make
good
them,
luck
make
doing
them,
it next
make
time.
Make them doing it again. Yep, let the percentages play out. So I think NDSU does a really good job with that, and it's why Denver struggled the first game.
They're a reasonably deep team, which I guess is interesting just because we're not sure how many guys are going to be available for NDSU this weekend. They've got 9 guys getting at least 8 minutes per game. That doesn't help them, though, defensively. They are last in scoring defense, and the Bison, they didn't struggle to score at all. I mean, when that game was still in question, NDSU was basically getting whatever they wanted.
Yeah, I think that's NDSU's highest point total of the year.
You're probably right.
Yeah, Crown College, yeah, they didn't even do it against Crown College. Yeah, it's their highest point total of the year. They shot over 50% from the floor. 52% from the floor, 10 threes, 37%, and shot 28 free throws. If they do anything near that, they win by 20 again. So it always starts at the defensive end with Dave's teams, and Kind of let the offense play out. It's been a little nicer this year. The offense has been a little bit more efficient with a little bit more scoring. Obviously, Grant helps that with his versatility. And I think just having some more shooters around the perimeter that are able to not only just shoot, but they can create their own shot, get into the basket. I think guys like Tejavis, we want to see keep progressing forward. He obviously has the talent and the skill level. Kind of just seeing that bulldog in him a little bit to kind of take that next step here at the end of the year, because he's kind of their wild card going into the Summit tournament. If a guy like him can kind of take a little bigger step forward, I think that's only going to help NDSU going into tournament time.
Well, and if you don't have Luke and you don't have Lance, you know, he's going to get huge minutes here. And that's big, you know, for his development. What can you learn from a series like, I mean, that's, let's say NDSU posts two double digit wins. That's what they did, you know, on the road. Let's say they accomplished that feat by beating these two teams here at home, moved to 8-6. What do you learn when you're a heavy favorite and you do get a home? You know, you just do what you're supposed to. You don't need anything special. You do what you're supposed to do.
You know, Dave talks about it always at the beginning of the year. You want to get a little bit better each day so that you're the best version of yourself in March. And you see it in all kind of all sports. I mean, you see it in football. You see it in basketball. That's kind of our two main sports here. The teams that are playing their best at the end of the year, no matter what seed they are, no matter what's going on, those are the teams that are going to make a run. So I think this weekend is huge from a momentum perspective for NDSU to play good basketball and to continue being the best version of themselves so that they can keep carrying that forward to the three games that matter in March in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, that is the whole thing. We love to break down each and every game. Until NDSU moves conferences, it's a three-game season. And that's it's hard to kind of you get so emotionally invested, you know, play in and play out, and like I said, until they change leagues, it doesn't matter. But
and Oral Roberts might be the best spot for Summit to potentially be a two-bid league, but I still think you've got to win one of those high major games.
Yeah,
and I don't know if Liberty would be enough if they lost in the final, but 29-5 for them would be quite interesting if they lost in the final on Selection Sunday. I don't think they want to put themselves in that situation.
I know. Prediction time, both games.
You know, I think Omaha is gonna play well tonight. I think with Kyan coming back to Fargo, and I think they wanted to play better. They were better than what they showed at home. They had Western down 13. I watched a little bit of that game. Omaha was up 13, like in the second half, and Western kind of came back and won it at the end. They're not playing bad basketball. I know you look at their record, they lost seven straight games. They probably down in the dumps, but they're more than capable of giving NDSU a run. So hopefully NDSU's ready to play. I think NDSU's going to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder coming back home. They're going to be a little ticked off about getting swept on the road. I think the start of the game, probably first couple media timeouts, will kind of tell how the game's going to go, and hopefully NDSU can roll. I think depending on how tonight goes, I just don't think Denver has enough firepower on offense, and we usually don't see
we're a bad matchup for Denver. And that's easy to say for a team that's bad, but we're a bad matchup for Denver.
Yeah, and we don't say that a lot about NDSU teams, where teams just, I don't think, are going to be able to keep up offensively. I think we just have too many weapons, and unless Bruner's going off for 30 or 40, I think NDSU just needs to weather the storm and just let the game play out and stick to their game plan and let their talent kind of take over throughout the whole 40 minutes, and I think that should be a double-digit win for them Saturday.
Yep. We've got NBA scouts in the building tonight to see Grant Nelson. I think the Bison roll. I think they play really well. KB, no KB. I think that Western game might have broken the Omaha Mavericks. Thanks to Fargo Basketball Academy. Thanks to Nate Zastro. Thanks to Tundra Insurance.
And go Bison.